Back to your calls after the break, and Nick Haynes to join me. In fact, he's here now. Welcome to you, Nick. Great to have you on the program.
Thanks, Dwayne. Thanks for having me.
It's been an absolute pleasure. I've been sort of thinking about this. We nearly spoke on Friday, and we sort of ran out of time with the Prime Minister speaking, and we had to take his press conference. How's your fitness level, by the way? Would you be ready to go this weekend if you had to play?
Oh, yeah, for sure. obviously, pre-season is not the funnest for AFL players, but with the program we've been sent over the last probably 6 weeks, that's been the notion of available at any time to play. So in the wet down in Melbourne, did my 11K session on Saturday, and which is nearly a game anyway. So I reckon a week or two on the training track and ready to play after that.
So where do we find you right now? And do you think that most players from the Giants will be ready to go off a two-week base?
Yeah, well, I mean, back at home in Victoria with my family, and we're doing three running sessions a week, and we're a naturally pretty fit club, the Giants, and I know the boys have been working hard over the last 6 weeks in WA, South Australia, everywhere they are, getting their brothers, getting their friends out to do the training programs, and everyone's doing them. So for me personally, 2 weeks, four or five solid training sessions, and then straight into it, I don't see a problem with that.
Couple of lateral ones before we talk about the push-up challenge that you're promoting. You won the Stingrays Best and Fairest as a 19-year-old. Talk me through your draft situation, because you took an extra year. You're one of the jets of the competition now, but you took an extra year to get yourself really ready for men's footy?
Yeah, long story short, I quit footy when I was 13 for 4 years and then came back as a 17-year-old just for a bit of fun and for the footy functions and whatnot, but played 2 years of under 18. I played a year of under 18 at Frankston Bombers, and then senior footy after that, and then got invited down to Stingrays as a 19-year-old. So had a bit of senior footy experience and went back to 18s actually. So I think that held me in good stead. And I was an electrician for a year, finished year 12, and thoroughly enjoyed having that work balance and having to still push for that AFL. And I reckon that really made me appreciate AFL when I got there, because I think I was on about $7.20 an hour as a Sparky, and I was definitely appreciative when I got to the AFL club.
Yeah, that sounds like it's given you pretty good grounding, because you know what that's like, having been a tradie for $7.20 an hour, as opposed to many players who don't quite understand how tough that life is.
Yeah, exactly. I think coming out of year 12, I didn't know what I was going to do, and the footy club had a little Sparky apprenticeship opened up, and really taught me how to where he maximised my money, because I was on not much, and I had to pay off my mum for the car that she gave me, and I had to get up early and then go to footy training after work, and a lot of responsibility in, as an adult life. I thought when I got to the Giants, really having in good stead of moving out of home, looking after myself, paying the bills, saving my money, and working hard and not taking things for granted. So personally, I always thought 19 should be the draft age, and I think it's a great idea that AFL are exploring that at the moment.
You also did something that most kids don't do, and that is, and tell me if I'm wrong, you quit and went surfing for a little while. Is that correct, when you were early teens?
Well, it's called skimboarding. So I grew up on the shores of Frankston, and there's not much surf going on there, obviously, in the harbour. So it was a sport where it was on the flat ground with a wooden board, and we used to make ramps and rails and everything, and there was a good group of us that did it, and good fun. So obviously as a 15, 16-year-old, we couldn't drive down to Gunnamatta or Phillip Island and get on the big waves. So that was the next best thing.
And you've been given the okay to actually resume proper training with the club, I understand, actually return to the club tomorrow?
Yep, so I'm driving back tomorrow. And then on Wednesday, we're going to be paired up with another player. So I'm roommates with Adam Kennedy, who drove down yesterday, and I'll be paired up with him until further notice, that we can hopefully soon train groups of 10.
And you can use the gym and use the oval in sort of those groups. So you could, do you all get a time given to you where that's your allocated time?
Yeah, I'm not sure of the circumstances yet, whether it's just a local ground where we'll go in twos and do that. But I think what I've heard, we might be accompanied by either the fitness staff or a coach just to observe it. So I bet tomorrow we've got a little meeting, catch up with some of the leaders, and we'll find out more about the specifics of what we have to do. But it's all pointing good news, and hopefully over the next few weeks, it starts progressing to bigger and bigger things.
Do you think it's going to be an advantage? Because a lot of you guys do live together and you've kind of been in each other's pockets as a majority of players on the Giants roster are from out of town.
Yeah, I think if not all players are roommates with another player, and obviously a few of the older ones with wives and kids, but we're all in close proximity and all good mates. So like we do in the off-season, we always get up in small groups and train together and try to get those Ks in when it's pretty hard just after the off-season. But we're used to training in small groups and still pushing ourselves to the limit.
Now, a few friends of mine are part of Rotary and do a lot of stuff for Headspace down here in Geelong. So I know what great work Headspace does, and you're part of that as well to try and help the mental health of young people.
Yeah, so me and a couple other Giants players, in Matt Flynn, Nicola Barr and Aaron McKinnon, are all Headspace ambassadors. And we said a few weeks ago, if there's anything we can do for Headspace, let us know. And they jumped at the opportunity. This is the fourth year that we're doing the push-up challenge, and starts on May 11th, and it's a total of 3,046 push-ups over 21 days. So it's actually a fair amount of push-ups if you break it down per day. But the 3,046 push-ups represents the amount of Australians that unfortunately commit suicide in 2018. So a shocking number, and it's a lot of push-ups and a lot of people that have been unfortunate in that year. And it's great because each day of push-ups is a different number, and that represents a different statistic in mental health across Australia. So it's a great charity and a great awareness and great opportunity to donate for Headspace, which is a great fundraiser, and I'm really looking forward to get those push-ups done with as many people as we can.
So www.thepushupchallengeor.com.au, 3,046 in 1 year in Australia.
Yep, in 2018. So, obviously the silent killer. It's a shocking statistic, and as I said, each day is a different push-up number, and that represents a stat in Australian society. So as you're doing each day, you get awareness of how shocking the statistics are.
And it's a pretty difficult time for a lot of youth at this time as well. It's not just difficult for business owners and employees and employers. Youth finding it pretty tough at the moment. So it's a nice initiative just to give that one last plug, Nick, because I'm on board 100%.
Sounds good, mate. Yeah, it's a great cause. And as I said, multi-benefit fundraiser. So as you said, the pushupchallenge.com.au, and hopefully you can get as many people on board, because it's a great cause and they're doing great things at Headspace.
Great to have you, Nick. Good luck with the resumption of the season and training resuming tomorrow for you. Good luck with the drive north.
Thanks, Tony. Appreciate it, mate.
Nick Haynes, Giant star and part of the push-up challenge. The pushupchallenge.com.au is where you can go. Back to your calls straight away. 1-300-736-736. Brian in Mildura, in fact, has given me a call. Welcome to you, Brian.
Yeah, no, it's Ryan. How you going?
Oh, good, Ryan.
Yeah, just can you rank your top five current players and give me a Brownlow tip this year?
Top five current players. Well, Dustin Martin would be number one, I'd have to say. Let me have a think about two, three, four and five. My Brownlow favourite, well, Dusty would have to be the Brownlow favourite, Brian, given that it's going to be a reduced season and he's the number one player in the comp right now. Do you want to give me your top couple?
Yeah, no, Bontempelli's a very good player.
Yes.
Yeah, I like Bont.
Are you a Dogs man?
No, I broke for Essendon, but yeah, no, he's a Jet.
You got anyone in the top five at Essendon, Brian?
I reckon Richmond, West Coast. I reckon Essendon are going to be around the mark. I reckon we'll jump.
Good stuff, Brian. 1-300-736-736, night grand final. Are you on board this year? And this Victorian bias has been thrown up a bit in the last 48 hours. Tom Rockliffe thinks so. Travis Boak had a slightly different take on it on Tim and Gary's program this morning. I'll play that as well. But when you've got 10 of the 18 teams in Victoria, then it's got to be a slight leaning toward a Victorian bias anyway, isn't it? Because the majority of the teams are here. And I'm a South Australian. But it seems a little bizarre to me. If you've got a business and you own 51% of it, and you've got a whole heap of other owners that own the other 49%. You're going to have more say as a 51% owner, aren't you? Probably, I reckon. I'm not sure there's a bias, but we'll take your calls on that after the break.